From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield. At a press conference in Washington on Thursday afternoon, Vice President Joe Biden sketched out his first suggestion of what gun policy reform might look like after Newtown.
Coming from the groups we've met with, there is a surprising recurrence of suggestions that we have universal background checks. Not just close the gun show loophole, but total universal background checks.
CNN cut away from Biden's speech to go to commercial and returned with breaking news on the other side of the country in Taft, California.
There has been a school shooting at Taft High School. This shooting happened this morning around 9 a.m. local time, we're told. According to reports, at least two people were shot.
Next Tuesday, Biden's task force will deliver its gun policy suggestions to the White House. One potential reform concerns something that you might mistakenly assume already exists, a central database of gun transactions in the United States maintained by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. The National Rifle Association has blocked all such efforts in the past. In fact, the government's record-keeping on gun ownership is stunningly antiquated. Cheryl Gay Stolberg wrote about it for the New York Times. Cheryl, welcome to On the Media.
I'm happy to be here.
So if this were CSI or some other TV show and the cops had a gun from a crime scene, you know, you see them at one of their magical computers typing in a serial number, and lo and behold, up pops the photo of the person the gun is registered to and all their particulars. I gather it ain't like that in real life.
Right. In real life, the ATF has to follow a very circuitous manual routine to track gun ownership. There is no central database of gun transactions.
Now, this is not because the federal government hasn't thought of that. This is the result of being essentially handcuffed by the law. Can you tell me what the law is in early 2013 and how it got there?
So in 1986, Congress adopted the Firearms Owners Protection Act, and that law prevents the ATF from establishing a central database. Instead, the ATF has to comb through records, computer printouts, hand-scrawled index cards, sometimes water-stained sheets of paper, to gather up necessary data on firearms transactions.
And the reason for this is that legislators friendly to the NRA have tucked certain provisions into bills that have nothing to do with gun control, in order to make sure that the ATF's job is as cumbersome as possible. What is their thinking?
Well, I think the argument made by the NRA is that a central database is tantamount to Big Brother. It could be used by the government to send agents into people's homes and repossess their guns. It's interesting that the NRA, in speaking about the Newtown case, suggested a central database of people who are mentally ill, but it nonetheless opposes a database of registered gun owners.
Let me play the devil's advocate here for a moment, because if the Second Amendment was intended by the framers to allow the public to do exactly what they had done and rebel against tyranny, then it would certainly make sense in that context for the government not to be able to preemptively stop the rebels from taking a stand.
But the counterargument is that the guns that are being used in massacres like the Newtown Massacre are not being kept by people for their Second Amendment right to defend themselves or to even rise up against the tyranny of government. They are military assault-style weapons that can fire off round after round after round in a matter of seconds, and that the only real purpose for these guns is killing people.
At the moment, something is going on in New York State that seems to create a bit of a conflict between the First Amendment and the Second one. A newspaper called the Journal News, and then subsequently the website Gawker, published information about gun owners that it had harvested from public records, enraging the gun owners for a number of reasons, not the least of which is they feared for their own personal security, but clearly permitted as a matter of available public information. Does the furor over the Journal News episode foreshadow the debate ahead on gun registration and easily accessible databases?
Well, I think that's an interesting question, and I guess perhaps it does. I have to confess that I was very conflicted when I read about that case as a journalist. On the one hand, this newspaper published readily available data. Newspapers do that all the time. But the paper also published the precise street addresses of gun owners, and I do have to say that we're often careful with precise street addresses. And there are some things that newspapers traditionally haven't published. For instance, we don't publish the names of rape victims, although in some places that's changing. So I'm not sure what the right move was journalistically, but I do think that the backlash against that publication is sort of parallel to the strong feelings about a gun registry.
I'm wondering, Cheryl, if this just bespeaks a conflict between the public's right to know and the gun owner's right, as they have asserted, to privacy.
Absolutely, there's a conflict. We have these conflicts all the time, and the Supreme Court settles them, and that is the debate that the President and the Congress and the American public will be wrestling with in the weeks and months to come.
All right. Cheryl, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Cheryl Gay Stolberg is a Washington correspondent for The New York Times.